Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Speaking of hot, the hot stove is decidedly different than it was this time last year. It's odd, right? I wish I had the reasons why. And I actually was looking forward to asking Bob Nightingale when he joined us from San Diego. And we'll try to connect with him at some point. But why is this offseason for Major League Baseball so decidedly different from a year ago? And do you remember that a year ago, there were agents and players complaining that baseball owners were colluding to not pay the big bucks to some of the top flight free agents available? Well, if that's the case, what? The owner stopped colluding or it's not working anymore? I mean, I was rolling my eyes at that theory last year because to me it was ridiculous. It's still ridiculous. A billionaire owner is not going to let another billionaire owner tell him how to run his business. It doesn't happen. Billionaire owners generally have egos. And even if they are open to suggestions, and I would say many of them have people around them that they help, that help them run the business, help them make decisions, offer input, advice, analysis, analytics, da-da-da-da-da. But when you're competing for the same piece of hardware, you're not allowing a competitor to tell you how to run your business. It doesn't work that way. Now, I've never been a billionaire owner, but I know if I was, I wouldn't let someone else tell me how to spend my money or run my business. And even in my little bitty business that has nothing to do with billions, except for when I talk about other people's billions, I don't let someone else tell me how to do my radio show. I'll take input. I'll take advice. But ultimately, my name's on it, which means I have to be able to own it and sell it. It has to be me. It can't be somebody else. And this is just my own little piece of real estate. And so I don't believe there's collusion in professional sports, again, because I don't think these men, and on the rare occasion women, are going to let anyone else tell them how to run their business or make their money. They only come together when it's for the good of all of them. And that's usually about the TV broadcasting rights or advertising or la, 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 la. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. I actually saw a post on our Facebook page earlier this week. Someone said, thank you. I went to Rocket Mortgage and saved such and such amount of money on my mortgage. That's awesome. I'm so glad. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Some of you responding to our most recent caller, Jimmy in Manhattan, being tabbed as a Hall of Fame candidate. We haven't done Hall of Fame in a while, but I feel like we should before the end of the year. And guess what else, you Facebookers? We, at last check, this was a few hours ago, we're roughly 30 likes away from 30,000 on our Facebook page. And you may remember, although if you don't, I'm here to remind you. We promised you a Facebook Live video. We're going to do a Facebook Live broadcast once we get to 30,000 likes on our Facebook page. And while it is, of course, exclusive to Facebook, because that's the whole point, that's the medium. Even if you don't follow us, you'll be able to watch it. Those things are public. And so it'll be up on our page. It's lots of goodies on our page. Ask Amy anything. I always go back and answer your questions. Some of the ones that are easy to answer that I don't find completely ridiculous. My latest football column is up as well. You know, you get to comment on the biggest topics that we've got, and we usually ask you show questions. So Facebook gets a ton of traffic, more than Twitter, believe it or not. And once we get to 30,000, we're close. We're opting for a Christmas-flavored Facebook Live broadcast. Chris has volunteered to sing Christmas carols. Though I like Christmas carols, so I was thinking we might play some on our phone, and then we could let Chris sing, and we'll just do backup, Dave and I.
I was volunteered for.
Hey, you're the one who said Christmas, Chris, as in Christmas carols. Did you not say that?
As a joke.
Have you never done Christmas caroling in like a neighborhood or for an old folks home?
Oh, sure. Just okay, see? Not in front of a Facebook
Whatever.
Live studio audience.
It's not that many people who tune in. And this could be your big break. Maybe your next stop will be American Idol. No?
You are the weakest link on that one. No, I don't think so.
I would never do one of those reality shows unless it was The Amazing Race. That's the one that I want to do someday. I just think that's so fascinating to, I mean, plus it's all tense. I love that show. Let's see. So get to 30,000 likes on our Facebook page. If you're part of it, then you'll be able to see our Facebook Live broadcast. We're going to do it next week. I'm assuming we'll have 30 more likes by next week. And at that point, then we're going to dress up in fun Christmas costumes. And I mean, I don't have an elf costume. I'll just be wearing a Christmas hat and maybe bring you along some Christmas props. But I'm also going to bring some goodies. So there's your incentive, Chris and Dave. Goodies for the Christmas Facebook Live video. People always want to know, hey, can you send us pictures or post pictures of your cookies and your baking? And I will definitely take some. But I'll probably bring some in as well to share with coworkers here because Christmas cookies make people happy. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up in 10 minutes, Aaron Boone weighing in on the acquisition of Gerrit Cole as the ace pitcher. A little more from CC Sabathia, who's been in Gerrit Cole's shoes prior, although 10 years ago when the money wasn't quite the same thing. And Roger Goodell giving you the latest on another investigation into the Patriots. There's some NFL get-together that's taking place right now. I don't exactly know what it is. It looks like it's a seminar. It's a group of seminars. But they're all together because Roger Goodell and Bob Kraft were actually on video earlier today in the same place having a conversation. They're very friendly. I mean, they're good friends. They have a good relationship despite the fact that Kraft has gotten pretty angry at Goodell.
I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me.
And the other owners for what he feels like are unfair investigations. We'll see. We'll hear from Roger Goodell. We'll see where this latest Patriots investigation goes. Can I just tell you the truth? It feels like much ado about nothing, but I get it. With the Patriots history, it's something that they have to go ahead and investigate. The league meetings are taking place in Irving, Texas, which is near Dallas, if I'm correct. Margaret is listening in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
I really enjoy your show.
That's good. Thank you.
I was talking about the Angels. I'm obviously a Northern Virginia, a Nationals fan, and I'm sorry to see Rendon go. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that he did, but if I were running the Angels, I have an MBA, I'm a business person, looking at a business, I would look at the pieces that I have, which are Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, Joe Maddon. I don't know enough about the organization to know what other pieces there are, but I would think that and the place of Los Angeles would be a tremendous draw. I would look at who my GM is and make sure I trust that person's business sense. I think that's incredibly important. Mm. But the old marketing model, and this is, I'm your mother's age, I'm sure, is you look at the product, you look at the price, you look at the place, and you look at the promotion, the four P's. They obviously have the place of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
They're building the product. I think the better the product, the more likely there will be opportunities for promotion, you know,
sure.
the TVs, whatever. And when I was in my MBA program, one of the cases that we had was to fix the Utah Jazz.
Okay? Really? Interesting.
And, yeah, and this was, oh God, this was the early 80s. And the Utah Jazz were horrible. I mean, it was way before Karl Malone and those people. And we determined that their problem was the product. It was a product that stunk, you know.
Yep.
And so, again, looking at the Angels as a business model, frankly, I would love to get into it as a business model because there's pieces in place. And with them having money, I mean, good God, think of the potential.
Sure, sure. So I like the four Ps. That's really interesting. And, you know, you're right. We think of it as, oh, it's a game. It's baseball, it's sports, it's certainly it's entertainment, but we get so invested on the, you know, the competitive side of things. But these franchises also have to market. They also have to watch their bottom line. They also have to do promotions because they're competing for what is a, you know, a busy piece of real estate when it comes to fans and their attention and the amount of money they'll spend, whether it's tickets, whether it's t-shirts, whether it's, you know, that kind of a stuff. So it's funny because until I got into this business, I never thought about the business of sports. But now it's very prominent just because it's a part of sports that is, I mean, it dictates a lot of decisions, even though we may not see it on the surface and it's not reflected in games. The business and the bottom line definitely dictate what these owners do in many cases. I appreciate your phone call, Margaret. Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Margaret. Let's talk to Tommy, who's in Arizona. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, happy holidays.
Thank you.
I love your show. I usually just sit and listen, but I'm calling Jimmy from the New York fan that I think he ought to go down in your Hall of Fame.
Oh, well. And I think he's just upset because I kind of popped his balloon a little bit.
You sure did, and there could have been alcohol involved or whatever, but that is the reason, and I don't know why other people, but I love to hate the Yankees.
What is the reason?
Because of his attitude that we're better than everybody else just because we have the money and signing all these players. There's one more piece I'd like to add to your latest caller.
Wait, just really quick, before Jimmy, or Tommy, sorry, Tommy, before you continue. Jimmy is just one Yankees fan. I don't think it's fair to brand them all under the same umbrella. I mean, that's a bit of stereotyping, and we're talking about extensive stereotyping. But, I mean, I get it. They are a highly decorated franchise, and their fans are used to winning. It's similar to, say, Patriots fans. But it's not, I mean, you can't think that all of them speak the same as Jimmy or act the same as Jimmy. I mean, and plus you don't really know Jimmy. You only know him from like a 15-second phone call. So that's not really fair.
I know, but like I said, I love to hate him, and it's probably a little bit of jealousy being a Twins and a Dodgers fan. But you know, and I know growing up and playing sports, if you don't have the final P, the personality, if that team won't gel, just because they've signed the top pitcher and the Yankees have done this before, is if that team doesn't gel and get along, then they won't win.
Yeah. Well, I would say in some cases, if you have enough talent, even if you don't get along, you can still win. But chemistry is what takes a team that doesn't have as much talent to the next level and carries you through adversity when things aren't going well. And you don't necessarily have to like each other to have chemistry. You have to respect each other. That's more important than liking each other. You have to go to bat for one another. You have to be part of a team. So all of that's important. And I would absolutely agree with personality, but I think personality is actually great for marketing too. If you've got personalities that are fun, that are willing to speak out, that maybe have a little bit of flair, have some charisma to them, that helps when you're talking about putting butts in the seats.
Absolutely. And just one more thing about that tagline about it being warm and stuff. Well, it's been warm down here in the desert, but being from Minnesota, I miss the cold weather for one reason, and you'll hear me talking. I'm your college hockey player caller, and We'll have to get into that one of these nights.
I don't know how much college hockey I'll be talking. Maybe during the Frozen Four, I could talk a little bit about it, but that's not generally something that we spend a lot of time on. But you can be our college hockey expert, Tommy. Thanks for your phone call.
Saturday. This Saturday is the start off between the women's USA team and the Canadian team. So
no. Sorry. I'm sorry. With the end of the NFL regular season and everything else is going on right now, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of hockey, but I do appreciate your passion for it. Thank you so much for your phone call. We talk a lot of hockey in the spring during the playoffs. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you definitely know that. But this time of the year, maybe there's a big storyline here or there. We had an Ask Amy Anything question that briefly required me to strap on the skates. But this time of the year, we don't do a lot of hockey and we don't do a lot of NBA, honestly. A game here or there. I mean, Tiger Woods and company are playing in the President's Cup, and we're not talking about that either. Although I wonder if it's down under in Melbourne, Australia, are the matches going on while we're on the air? Because that's kind of fun sometimes. Apparently, they laid an egg, though, other than Tiger Woods. So I'll have to check the Golf Channel and see. Let's see. Now, we're going to let you hear from Aaron Boone, a little more from CeCe Sabathia. And then before the end of this show, before the end of this hour, not the show. Well, the show, too. Roger Goodell talking about the Patriots and the new investigation going on into, I don't know, some people are calling it Spygate 2. That makes me do a Judge Judy eye roll. Chris found a fantastic gif of Judge Judy doing an eye roll. It made me crack up. So you can check me out, check us out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Yo, yo! Aaron Boone got a pretty cool holiday gift, courtesy of Brian Cashman, the Steinbrenner family, the Yankees organization that he works for. Garrett Cole, to the tune of 9 years, $324 million, though it's not coming out of Boone's paycheck, which is probably good. He'd be working for free the rest of his career. But his reaction to the Yankees bringing Garrett Cole and putting him smack dab in the middle of Aaron Boone's clubhouse.
You're just hopefully finishing off a team that, you know, can potentially win a championship. So, you know, we feel like the potential to add an elite talent with what we feel like is elite makeup.
You know what you don't have to do anymore if you're Aaron Boone? You don't have to have the question of who's the ace and who should start this game. Whether it's the opener of a series, whether it's the closeout game of a series, whether it's a one-game wild card. Whatever it is, you now have an undisputed ace. And depending on what happens with Domingo Germán, how long he might serve a suspension under Major League Baseball's domestic abuse policy, or if the Yankees choose to bring in someone else, I feel like they've got a rotation now that is much more daunting. The bullpen's already been good. They've got a lineup. Now they just got to put all the pieces together.
I feel like we're good. We're really confident in a lot of the players we have, a lot of the pitchers we have, a lot of the depth we have, a lot of the people that are still coming up through and ready to potentially make an impact on our roster.
It's just that whole pesky problem of producing when everything is on the line. People don't like when I remind them that Garrett Cole was on the Astros last year and they did not win. So it's never about one guy. Can you get balance between your hitting and your pitching? Can your pitching pick up your hitting when your hitting is not clicking? Can your bullpen pick up your starting rotation when they do not get you deep into games? So there's a lot of things that have to happen for a baseball team to be able to get to the promised land. And then a little bit of magic like the Nationals had this past year is also welcome in October. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There are questions about Garrett Cole in the spotlight. I feel like these questions are a little bit odd considering what he just did on baseball's postseason stage, but that's just me. So can Garrett Cole handle New York?
Well, we got to spend a lot of time together and really learn about him and him about us. You know, everything in that suggests that this is a guy that would thrive anywhere, but I'm confident, especially in New York.
It certainly is a different kind of scrutiny. It's scrutiny, it's criticism, it's everything you do being analyzed 50 ways to Sunday. For instance, I'll give you an example. And you can think what you want about Le'Veon Bell. It's been a rough season for him, but he's got the flu. He doesn't practice on Saturday or play, and he goes out and bowls on Saturday night. And his coach is a little bit ticked off. And do you know this has become the story surrounding the New York Jets? If it's not Sam Darnold's mono. Oh, by the way, one of the basketball players that I cover as part of my work on the College Hoops side has mono. I did not make a joke about her kissing Sam Darnold, I promise. Anyway, that's become the story, is Le'Veon Bell and whether or not he should have been bowling on Saturday night when he wasn't feeling well. That's what it's like to be an athlete, to be a pro athlete in New York. Now, what about a guy who's done it before? Not just done it, but excelled in the spotlight. CC Sabathia, who was the free agent pitcher 10 years ago with his, what is it, $171 million contract that he received from the Yankees. He was a guest on Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio.
I think once he gets here, he'll be fine. I mean, you know, the locker room's good. The clubhouse is great. The team is good. You know, the organization's great. So I think having the big expectations of the big contract, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking until you actually get here and see, oh, I got Aaron Judge behind me. I got Gleyber Torres. I got, you know, I got some help to help me, you know, try to get to this championship.
CC Sabathia has been there, done that. If you'd like to hear more of his reaction to Garrett Cole signing with the Yankees right on the heels of Sabathia retiring, you can check out Tiki and Tierney on CBSSportsRadio.com, and you can find that interview in its entirety. I still want you to hear from Roger Goodell as he tells you what's happening with the investigation into the New England Patriots. Troy Vincent actually is the one who's handling the ins and outs of that investigation. I feel like it's much ado about nothing, but I can understand why the NFL has to look into it, if for no other reason than appearances' sake and propriety. Also, I have a fun question for you that revolves around football that I think you will like, and we'll take more of your calls. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Do you believe it? Do you believe that the Patriots were trying a new way of spying on an opponent? I mean, here's the part that's nutty. It was the Bengals. Do you really need to spy on the Bengals? Of all teams, are you worried about the Bengals? That's the part that kind of blows the whole thing out of the water. This is who you choose to accidentally spy on? I'm using my air quotations. Come on, raise your hand if you honestly think the Patriots needed to spy or thought they needed to spy on the Bengals. The Bengals. Didn't they start Ryan Finley in that game, too? That was before Andy Dalton came back. It was the Bengals, for God's sakes. I should have said for goodness sake, sorry. Regardless, you by now have heard Bill Belichick talking about it, that he had no idea that it was an accident, that they found out. As soon as they found out, they made a statement, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, there's a crew, a production crew, three people, that are producing a web series, so an internet broadcast series, titled Do Your Job. It's a pretty common phrase used by Belichick and the Patriots. And they've said, the Patriots have said in a statement, that the crew did not properly inform the Bengals that they would be filming. And so for the New England Patriots, it instantly gets people to think and worry about Spygate. The whole thing's so goofy. It's the Bengals. Actually, I think it's the Bengals. They play the Bengals this Sunday. Is that what's happening? Okay. So they haven't played the Bengals yet. This is coming up this Sunday. It's still the Bengals. And no, I do not memorize every week's schedule. So the Patriots hired this production crew. It's independent contractors. They're not Patriots employees. They're not part of the New England front office or their own video department. And Patriots essentially just wanted to give people an inside view of what it's like to scout on the road. What it's like to send scouts out and try to figure out the best way to beat your opponent.
What do you think having a 37-year-old?
We're on to Cincinnati.
You don't say. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Coach Belichick said that the scout was doing his job. He was following the rules, but that this is, it's par for the course. And they were trying to make a video to show that this is what the scout does. And then, of course, the video crew ends up taping things the video crew is not supposed to be taping. So,
we're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Yes, you are. So the Patriots indicated that they didn't intend to use the footage for any other purpose. That's not why they have it. They didn't even know this crew was filming. And that all of the footage has been turned over to the league. And so they don't even have it anymore. So that means there's no other copy. This video will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Of course, there is a probe. And Roger Goodell at the league meetings in Irving, Texas, getting peppered with questions about the Patriots and another Spygate incident.
I think the key things are the new information that we have. That information we obviously already have. But I think the issue is, what information do we have from this incident?
Do you anticipate a decision by the end of the season?
I don't have an anticipation. We're going to be thorough, and we're going to get all the facts, and we'll go from there. One of the things I've learned is you don't draw conclusions until you have all the information. So from our standpoint, I want to look at all the information. Once we have all the information, then we draw a conclusion. We're not going to draw conclusions along the way.
So the scout was scouting. The crew was filming. Never the twain shall meet.
I'm 37-year-old.
We're on to Cincinnati.
The scout didn't know. Bill Belichick didn't know. Once they found out, they alerted the proper authorities. I don't know. You can believe it or not believe it. To me, it seems like a risk the Patriots wouldn't be taking. And again, can I just say one more time? It's Cincinnati. The Bengals will be hosting the Patriots coming up this weekend. And yes, it will be Andy Dalton and not Ryan Finley. So, oh no, it's a high degree of difficulty. Come on, if you play like the Patriots, I don't even think you need to scout. You can watch old video if you like. But maybe they're nervous. Maybe they decided these back-to-back losses, it could be their undoing. And so now they've got to cheat. No, come on. I feel like, again, this is not a risk the Patriots would take. If they were going to cheat, they'd be busy worrying about a different way to do it so that it wasn't a repeat, quote unquote, of what they got fined and penalized for excessively going back to 2007. Wow. It's been a long time. 2007. Are you kidding me? I can't believe it was that long ago, but it was. All right, so we'll do a little week 15 prep, not Patriots and Bengals. We'll do a little week 15 prep moving forward on the show. And in terms of football, this is a question I think that you guys will have fun with. It's actually not one that I came up with based on the NFL, but on college football. Because we've got one pretty amazing event taking place this weekend in Philadelphia. At Lincoln Financial Field, the 120th Army-Navy game. 120th. What a tradition. And of course, both of these service academies have incredible traditions, some of which have to do with sports, but most of them not. If you've never been to West Point or Annapolis, I would highly recommend it. It's amazing. Just walking through the campuses is really amazing. So it's this tradition that is about more than football. You've got a bunch of seniors who will be graduating and then beginning their service to our country. I know technically when they're in school, you're also part of the military, but they'll be getting potentially deployed. They'll be getting stationed. They'll be, in many cases, navigating and dealing with challenges that most of us can't relate to. And yet they're the best and the brightest, which is pretty amazing. And their traditions when it comes to football and the various chants and cheers. And I once went to a game at Texas A&M. It was phenomenal, the way the cadets did the wave and the cheers. And I felt like the entire 12th man, the huge set of, not bleachers, but, you know, the one whole wall of stands was swaying. It goes so high up in the air, and with all the cadets and everybody moving back and forth, and it felt like the ground was moving and the stadium was too. Anyway, there's some really cool traditions. It's a sight to see. In fact, it's on my bucket list. I would love to go one of these days. And in case you're wondering, yes, they're both still incredible rushing teams. I actually looked up the numbers. Navy averages 361 rushing yards per game. NFL teams are jealous. 361 rushing yards per game. The Ravens are jealous. Army averages 312 rushing yards per game. Wowzers. And there was a late push to try to get Navy quarterback Malcolm Perry into the Heisman Trophy presentation, at least to get invited to New York, because he's got 1,500 rushing yards and 19 rushing touchdowns this season.
That's nerd stuff.
Yeah, it is, but it's also jaw-dropping stuff. So Army-Navy is obviously one of the best football rivalries because, again, it's more than just football. There's so many more layers to it, the implications. But what are some of the other best rivalries in football? So Army-Navy tops on the list. What are the other best rivalries in football? The ones that you'll watch even if it's not a game that you care about the outcome. And I love the ones that have long traditions, long histories. Remember, we started with one this NFL season. It's the 100th year of football. Not the 100th year of the NFL, but in all of its different forms. It's gone through many metamorphoses. But Packers-Bears. That's a long tradition, a long-standing tradition, a long-standing rivalry. But what are your favorite football rivalries to line up with Army-Navy? You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Tim, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how are you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Hey, I just want to just answer your question about that Army-Navy. I'm prior service, so go Army, be Navy. but about the MLB free agency, you know, I'm a diehard Oakland A's fan, and I'm just trying to see when are we going to be able to get a solid free agent pitcher that's going to come and bolster our lineup. We got the players, Matt Chapman, Olsen, Marcus Semien. But our pitching sucks right now.
Yeah.
And we're having good seasons, but we need a pitcher and get a Garrett Cole. That would definitely help us out.
Yeah, you know, he definitely would. I think part of the issue with the A's is the stadium deal. And I know baseball continues to say that it's committed to having baseball in Oakland long term. But the facilities in Oakland, honestly, compared with other stadiums around the country, they're brutal.
I definitely agree with you on that. But, I mean, if we can get a sign-in like a Garrett Cole, Mm-hmm. We can sell tickets. We can get the money to be able to build in Jack London across the bridge from it's not AT&T Park anymore, but across the bridge from the San Francisco Giants. I mean, right now, Bumgarner is also a free agent. Can we get Bumgarner to come to Oakland?
Well, you got to be willing to pay the money. The A's have to be willing to pay the money, and that's part of the issue, is that they don't always want to shell out the money. But then if you put yourself in Bumgarner's shoes, a guy who is probably in line for his biggest payday of his career here. So this is the free agent deal for him. Does he want to go to a contender? And if you are, and obviously he's been with the Giants and he's won a World Series. Does he want to go across the bay? But also, does he want to go to a place where he feels like he can be part of another team that can compete? And the A's, they always seem to have some nice runs. They always seem to put pressure on the Astros and on the top of the AL West. The Astros are really good right now, so that's part of the issue. The A's aren't operating in a vacuum. But I think it's hard to attract top-flight free agents, A, if you're not going to pay them the amount of money that they can command other places, but also B, if you're not a ready-made contender, when you have the chance to pick and choose, most athletes want to go to a place where they feel like they can win now. And then the facilities. I think if you take a tour of the facilities and you're a professional baseball player and you compare it with some of the other facilities that are newer and cleaner and tech-savvy, the clubhouses where they spend so much time, it's hard to sell that with the Coliseum and how old and run down it is.
I definitely understand that, man. Thanks, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Tim. Good to hear from you. And we don't even know if they're going to be playing in the Coliseum forever. I mean, they would obviously like to get a new stadium. But according to baseball, while it's a fluid situation, they want to have the game remain in Oakland. And it certainly does help. I think that the Raiders are vacating the stadium because, you know, they're moving to Vegas. It's a great atmosphere. It's a great arena. Everyone who's ever been there, who's a fan of those teams, tells me it's an incredible place to watch a game. And it helps if they'll just be baseball only and they don't have to share it with the Raiders. But at the same time, if you're a pitcher or a hitter in your mid-20s, your late-20s, you're a millennial, you have the pick of where you can go, and there's a lot of money involved, but you want to maybe go to a place that's got newer facilities, that doesn't have sewage issues, that doesn't leak. I mean, some of these stadiums are old, and if they're old, like Fenway Park or Wrigley Field, certainly, you know, that's a little different because of the tradition there, but still, they've gone through a lot of renovations in those places too. It's hard. It's hard because of the facilities. I think that's a barrier for a lot of free agents. I wouldn't say all of them, that and the money, of course. If you're willing to shell out the most money, free agents may overlook the facilities. But we know in the college game, there are a lot of college kids that are gaga over the facilities they see in some of the top flight schools around the country. And it's one of the reasons why colleges, universities sink so much money into their facilities, because when you dress them up with all the bells and whistles, young people can get pretty awed by that and want to play in a place where all the facilities are state of the art. And I don't think it's that much different for pro sports either. The atmosphere, the facilities are part of the package. 855-212-4227. Thanks for joining us after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.